welcome to Universal Energy Radio's Transparent Love. So this is sort of an impromptu show for me. It's about peeling back the onion of what is happening in our world, or maybe not in our world, maybe it's just in your life. So when we are transparent with our lives and come from a place of unconditional love, we create that love in the world. So no time to hold back. No time to hesitate. What's going on in our world today? And as I'm looking at this, I'm conditionally looking at my verbiage and thinking, oh, I misspelled some words and I did some things. So I'm going to fix all of that. I just felt a need to jump on and have a conversation. Really don't know, don't have an agenda. Just wanted to talk about the experiences of things that are going on, not in a personal sense, but a sense of the world and a sense of just what is. You know, there's so much happening out there, and a lot of people are questioning, you know, why are things happening? What's going on? And a lot of it is because there's change and expansion and growth. And when you can understand that change and expansion and growth and a true sense of word and a really huge change, it's not going to be a smooth transition. If it were a smooth transition, none of us would change. None of us would grow. We'd all stay complacent, if you will. We'd stay comfortable in that, I call it the comfortable uncomfortableness of where we've been, maybe where we are, how we're experiencing things. So that is the part that I really want to focus on. I want to focus on the part that, you know, I'm not going to focus on the part that doesn't feel good in a sense, and I'm going to talk about that. But what I'm going to talk about is how we can turn that and how we can shift that into something that feels so much better and shift that into a space of grace, into a space of love. Because in every situation, whether it be our situation, our own personal situation, or someone else's personal situation, or the world situation, we must shift our perspective. When we do not shift our perspective, there is something called resistance. And the more you push against something, that you've heard the saying, what you resist persists. So the more we push against that, the more that will be in our experience. And that goes for things that don't feel good in our bodies, and we call that dis-ease or lack of ease. And how many of us are trying to be made aware of dis-eases in the world and aware you are of it, the more you bring it into your experience, you'll hear about it, you'll read about it. People around you will have it. You may have it. So that's what I'm talking about. We're talking about frequency and vibration. We're talking about law of attraction. We're talking about energy. We're talking about who we truly are in this world. And it's one of those things that you got to sit with it. If you're a meditator, which I hope most people that are listening to this are meditating in some form or fashion, even if it's 5 minutes a day or 5 minutes a couple of times throughout the day, or maybe you are meditating for a long period of time in the morning or in the evening, sit in that space of well-being and just be quiet, be silent. You know, I'm not on the air a lot. There's a lot of silence that I'm experiencing right now. And that's not from a place where I don't have anything to say, but I'm ingesting a change. I'm shifting. I'm moving. I'm expanding. I'm growing. And how does that experience work in my world? I'm human. So things are going to happen. Things are not going to feel good. And I've noticed that the more I resist the change, all the changes that are going on in my life, the not easier it is. Becomes something tragic. It becomes something sad. It becomes something that doesn't feel good. And these are things that, you know, look at these words and feel these words. If you use these words, you know, these words do not feel fantastic. They don't feel good. And as human beings, we're not always going to stay in this space of perpetual bliss, and we strive for that, one would hope that you look in that direction. Because when you look in that direction, you'll feel more of that more often. You'll be experiencing that energy and that emotion more often. So what I'm trying to say here is look in that direction, even though those changes may not feel good, and make some choices. You know, one of the things that I realized in the past week, or maybe in the past month, is that boundaries are something that I don't look at boundaries very often. It's not something that I focused on, and this is coming up a lot. The boundaries that are that people put up. And it's something that finally I'm being who I am supposed to be. I'm moving in that direction. And so those boundaries sometimes aren't easy. Sometimes it's a conversation that you don't want to have, but you must have, because you've got to check in with yourself. It's not about other people. Yet it is. I like to think that I think about the collective whole. And what I mean about that is those that I affect the most, those that are closest to me, and those that are around me. And when I can look at that, and I used to think, what is for the highest and greatest good of my family? What's in the highest, greatest good of people around? What's in the highest, greatest good? And sometimes you can skip over this highest and greatest good. And if it doesn't feel good to you, though, it's not necessarily in the highest and greatest good of your family, because the whole experience is about you. Everything starts from within, and everything starts from your core. So you have to take that and sit with that and be in that. What is the highest, greatest good for my family? Includes you. It includes your experience. It includes your thoughts. It includes the conversation. I don't want to say have fear. And when you are experiencing something that doesn't feel fantastic to you, doesn't feel good, and you want to have this conversation, sit with it for a moment. You know, sometimes the words might not be easy coming out. Maybe someone you don't think will receive them in a way that you're going to say them at the same time. You know, it's all I can say is do the best that you can. And have the conversation, because the more you keep this inside, the more you hold it and you think you have to hold it for somebody else, the not easier it gets. And it will grow and expand, just like everything else grows and expands. So if you're constantly saying you're okay with something and you're actually not, guess what? At some point in your life, the universe, source, God, whatever label you put on that big energy, is going to shift it for you. Going to experience it for you. And I know firsthand what that feels like. I know firsthand how it feels to be in a space of being uncomfortable and not saying anything, being uncomfortable and not having the conversation. And a conversation that could have possibly led to a different outcome or led to a different experience. But it's okay, because you are where you are. And it's okay. So in your now, right now, how do you experience your life? How do you experience your way of being? Who are you experiencing that with? Who are the people that you surround yourself with? Are they people of integrity? Are they people of character? Are they people who want to do good works? I'm all about doing good works and helping and serving others. Helping and serving myself, because I have to be, you know, you can say strive towards the best version of yourself. And is that best version of yourself is someone who can set an example for you, your family, your children, your parents? You know, you are a combination of your parents, your grandparents, your aunts, uncles, whoever raised you, whatever you experienced in your life. You're going to have those paradigms growing up, and you get to choose which ones will I follow and which ones will I fall away, will I allow to fall away. So that's a huge thing too, because as an adult, you have to decide, you know, does being a particular way serve me? There's an example if you're an Abraham Hicks follower, about a young lady who cut off the piece of the ham and put it in the pan and bake it for, you know, whatever occasion it was. And her daughter said, you know, Mom, why did you cut off, you know, a couple inches of the ham, put the ham in the pan and put it in the oven? And her mom said, I don't know. That's the way I was taught. That's the way my mom taught me. And she said, go ask your grandmother. My grandmother happened to be there. And she said, Grandma, why did you cut a couple of pieces off the ham, put it in the pan, and put it in the oven? And she said, well, when I was younger and in my kitchen, I didn't have a pan that was big enough for the ham. So I had to cut off a couple of inches for the ham to fit in the pan and then cook it. So you see how the paradigm or the tradition or ceremony or whatever that is that you pick up may not be what you think it is. So she taught her, her daughter saw this and thought, this is how you're supposed to do this. So this is what she did. And she, in turn, was about to hand that down to her daughter when the realization is, guess what? You don't have to do that because you can actually get a pan big enough to cook the ham. So that, just saying, take a look at your paradigms. Take a look at the stuff that you think is your tradition. And a lot of us love tradition. A lot of us didn't have tradition. A lot of us didn't have a lot of the things that some people did. You're going to talk to each other, and you're going to realize we're all uniquely different. Some of us had the same experiences. Some of us didn't. You get to choose the ones that you hang on to and the ones you release out into the universe. It's all your choice. All your choice. It's surprising when you find out what some people's traditions are. And based on a lot of religion, a lot of times folks are very hesitant based on, I was at a support group a couple of weeks ago, and we were having a round circle discussion. And one woman was saying, you know, talking to her mother was not the easiest because her mother is Catholic. And her mother really relies on her religion. So how is she supposed to have this conversation with her mother? And so if you tear away the religion, you tear away the programming, you tear away all that, we're all human beings. We're actually bigger than that. We're more than that. We're here to experience more than that. And when we feel nervous or not sure or fearful or all of those words that don't feel good, guess what? Whoever we're talking to, whatever we're experiencing, it's going to come across, and it's your energy. It's your internal energy. When I said it started from you first, it's always you. When you go to have a conversation with someone, put yourself in a place, in a space of love. Even if it's a not easy conversation, even if it's a conversation that you could, you know, get really frustrated with. And the reason that I'm saying that is because when you put yourself in a neutral space or a space of love, you shift the whole experience. My alchemy teachers said also that you could put flowers, roses up. You can surround yourself with roses. Roses are the highest vibrational flower out there. So that, to me, is one of the most amazing experiences, too, when you have a conversation with someone that you put roses up. Maybe you're typing an email. Put roses up while you're typing. Experience that. Experience the energy of what you don't see. Maybe experience the energy of what you feel and how you're being in the world. And to me, when you can get that, just sit with that, sit with your energy, because most of us don't give our energy time. Most of us don't give our energy, you know, we don't tap into that. We don't use our intuitive self, our intuitive nature, and understanding that we create the experience. You know, sometimes we ask why. Don't ask why. ask for the gift. Ask for, in this experience, it doesn't feel good. What's my gift in this? Show me my gift. And one of the things that I realized that I've looking at, because if you've followed sort of the stories that have been going on Universal Energy Radio, there's some similarities going on in several of our lives. And one of them is the breaking up, if you will, of a family, or the changing of the dynamics of the family. And one of the things that's happening for me right now is I'm being completely alienated from my children. I have no contact with them. And this has been a very contrasting experience for me, I have to say that, since I'm so used to having my children in my life, first daily for 12 years, then sporadically off and on during the month and sometimes during the week, to now no contact whatsoever, and basically being told some very not nice things about myself. So the contrast, and the reason I called the show is Transparent Love, because it's not just about being the parent and it's not about the love, but it's about being open and honest about the things in your life. And so without the name calling and without the yelling and the screaming, you're trying to understand what is the experience, what is the gift in all of this. And one of the gifts for me has obviously been freedom of time to be able to reconnect, make some connections, visit people that I haven't visited, really take a moment to experience just being in this, on this planet, and just being in this world, and sharing conversations with people that I haven't talked to in such a very long time. So I can go through a rampage of appreciation, and most of it is that. Lots of opportunities have opened up for me, lots of things happening. So that's been different, and I don't have to really question when I can do things, where I can go, who I can hang out with, or any of that. And I think that's the big difference, where before I very much had a schedule. I very much was kind of, I wasn't told necessarily what to do, but I did live my life around someone else's schedule and someone else's life. And yes, I miss my children immensely, and I don't even want to imagine. You know, one of the things that I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, I'm going through this process of grief, and this process of releasing and letting go, and this process of experiencing what it's like to not have them in my experience. And it's not a great place for me, and it's not a great place for my family, because my family's pretty much being alienated as well, and they're not happy about it. So this happens to be something that we're all, you know, and my family's questioning what's going on, what's happening, when can we see them, and I have no answers. I cannot say. All I know is that here is an experience of thing that I've never been through. So I keep peeling this back, saying, what is my gift in this? What is the experience? And maybe it's really looking clearly at relationships. Maybe it's really looking clearly at boundaries. Maybe it's looking clearly at the things going on in your life. So, and experiencing and connecting with people that you're on. So when we experience things that are not feeling good, or things that we are not understanding, because that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm not understanding the behavior, if you will, of someone else, then that becomes contrasty. That becomes something that, you know, it's something that, it doesn't make sense. At the same time, showing and experiencing someone else's ideas, or trying to even put yourself in their shoes, and that's something that I've done in the past, and it's something that I cannot do, because it's very confusing for me to be able to try to do that and try to experience what the other side is experiencing. So that, to me, is constantly, what is the gift? Where am I going with this? How can I have a rampage of appreciation? And for those who don't know what that is, that's just pulling up all the good stuff that's been going on and all the positive stuff, regardless, because I think some people think when you've got things going on in your life, you you should stay in a state of grief or stay in a state of sadness or stay in a state of depression or stay in the state to prove to the world that you're going through a really not easy time. And that those are all emotions, and those are emotions that you can shift and you can choose, because in the now, right now, I have to say, you know, the lack of having my children here, you know, I've shifted it enough so that it's not always a not easy experience. So right now, I'm fine. Right now, I'm okay. Do I think about them? Yes. Do I send them love? Yes, all the time. And it doesn't, everything else is not negated because of this. Everything else, in actuality, it's quite the opposite. It's how can I be more in this world to be the example so that when my children do see me and when my children grow up to experience life, they'll realize that they did have a parent that was and move and expand and grow and help others and to help them and to be in a space of love, constant, unconditional love. And I'll tell you, as human beings, that's not always easy. The constant, unconditional love is, you know, you're looking at that going, oh, you know, I mean, you catch yourself every once in a while just, you know, going off and just saying, you know what, I'm not happy right now. I am far from happy right now. And acknowledging that and not stuffing it down, because when we stuff it down, guess what? It gets stuck in us. It stays within our, it stays within our emotional self. It stays within our physical bodies, and that's what creates the not feeling good and the not ease. So to me, it's really shifting the whole experience of what's going on in our lives, no matter what it is. I mean, so many people look at the external, our government. Let's take that, for example, which I don't follow the news, and I don't follow really anything that's going on. All I can tell you is this person is here to create change. And I will tell you, bless him for being the whipping boy, if you will, because he's taking a beating. And that was his, that's his role, though. That's his role. And because of all of this, we're asking for change. Guess what? We are making changes. Now, here's the caveat. We need to start being specific about our change. What do we want to see in the world? Instead of what we don't want to see, let's talk about what we want to see in the world. Let's throw that out there. Let's start experiencing that. I know in my space, in my place, and the people that I talk to and the people that I experience are all about love, wellness, peace, happiness, joy. All of those, I call them high vibrational words, those words that feel good. And it's not from you know, I'm just ignoring the not feeling good stuff, because that stuff does come in. But, and how do we help each other shift that and feel better when we focus on the things that don't feel good, and especially the things that we have absolutely very little control over? And the reason I say that is, but there is a tribal mentality. Think about the tribal mentality, and things that are happening in the world are a manifestation of the vibration of years of tribal mentality. So we are ready for a change, a huge change, yet we are not specifying what we want. So many people are angry. Well, guess what? That's going to show up, because that there's a lot of that. And how, when, and I talked about this before, how many of us, when we get angry, we stomp our feet, we yell and we scream. And when we're happy, we're happy. We may laugh, and yet we don't celebrate it the way we should celebrate it, except understand the vibrational countenance of it. So when you're angry and you're stomping and you're yelling and you're screaming, you're putting forth a lot of energy. Well, you're telling you your higher self, universe, source, God, I want more of that. And that's not what the message you really want to send, because it's an energetic message. It's not a words message. If it were a words message, then now with all the slang and everything else, there'd be, oh, there's so much. So it's vibrational. Everything has a vibration. Everything has a frequency. And when we offer that up, when we offer a vibration of grief and anger and sadness and not well-being, and guess what we get in the world? And when we shift and we offer love and patience and kindness and joy, we get that in the world. Now, we must be patient because it is not, and I say this most of the time, it's not instant manifestation. There is a period of time. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you could think a thought, turn the corner, boom, there it is. And you acknowledge those things. Acknowledge the gifts that you receive on a daily basis. We're constantly giving ourselves gifts. And I say that and because we have that force working through us. We are creators. We are source. We are universe. We are God. We are each of us an essence of that higher power. And when we take that higher power and use it to our highest and greatest good, not only for ourselves, but that ripples out to other people, other things. You know, when everything started happening in my life, all the chaos, all the crazy, as I call it, I took time off to not do these shows, and I took time off to not experience things, and I took time off, and I didn't meditate, and I didn't write, and I didn't do all those things that I used to do. And now I'm shifting back into do the shows, do the writing, do the meditations, do all of that. Come full circle. Let's do this, because when you were on that, you were on this energetic high, then in a beautiful way that you could ride. And realizing when someone isn't on that journey with you, and acknowledging when someone is not on that journey with you, and being okay when someone is not on that journey with you. And knowing that you are an example for yourself, for your children, for others who are willing to allow you to be the example. Those that are allowing you to love them. Those that are allowing you to experience what life has to offer. And not being coming from a place of not allowing that. I don't want to use that F word that so many people talk about, because a lot of people, if you think about it, they're living in that space of not knowing what tomorrow holds or what the future holds, not knowing when that experience, good, not good, well, not well, into them. They keep themselves safe. They keep themselves sheltered, and yet they don't experience life. You know, there was a little post, I don't know if I posted this, but it was Charlie Brown and Snoopy sitting there. And Charlie Brown said, you know, Snoopy, one day we're going to die. And Snoopy said, yes, but the rest of the time we're going to live. So how many of us are not living, that we're just complacent, we're just being? We don't experience because we have things to do. We have jobs. We've got a job. We've got to work another 10 years before we can retire. We've got to, you know, fix this before we can do this. It's either or. It's not either or, folks. When you allow yourself to be who you are, all is open. All is available. It's a belief that we have, and it's a paradigm that we share. And it's a paradigm that comes from generations upon generations upon generations upon generations. If you were following me on anything, Instagram or Facebook or any of those, like Universal Energy Radio, Universal Energy Media, any of those things, you'll know that I have posted things about one of my wellness facilitators, Donna Terrazas, who happens to be a really good friend of mine, also is my acupuncturist, also is a Reiki master practitioner, has a list of modalities under her belt. It's just a healer. She's a healer. And what does that mean? She's someone that you can go to. And being in her state of wellness and her state of looking at you as if you are whole and well, she creates a wholeness and wellness. She allows you to lift your vibration and be in that space and attends to you with love and just amazing, amazing energy. And I happened to spend the day with her yesterday, and that I had spent a week in New York and just had, you know, came back. I could barely walk on my right foot, and it was just kind of excruciating when I got up. Didn't understand what was going on. You know, my sister said it was some words. I don't really know what the words are, but the words. You know, people put a label on it. Let's put a label on it. It is this. It didn't feel good. So she said, well, come over and I'll treat you. And we did. We did some acupuncture and some foot reflexology and all of that, and it was wonderful. And I'm walking pretty normal today, which is you know, it, to me, is a great testimonial. And I've always said to her, you are such a fantastic wellness facilitator. You know, people, there are people out there that are, you know, I'm a healer. No one can heal you unless you allow the healing. No one can help you unless you allow it. You are actually your own healer, whether it be emotionally, spiritually, physically, you heal yourself. Someone can help you and be that jumping off place for you, but understand that you are the one that heals your body. It's your body. No one can heal a wound for you. You're the only one that can do it. So when you really understand that you breathe yourself every day, every second, every minute. You don't think about it. Your blood's pumping in your body. You don't think about it. You don't think about the things that are going on to have this biomass, if you will, that you walk around in, function, and yet we do. And then some of us, we don't even be in our body mass with a state of, I want to put good things in my body, and I want to be in the state of wellness. And I, you know, the body takes a lot. The body takes strange concoctions that we like to drink and things that perhaps maybe we like to smoke or foods that we like to eat that necessarily in our programming, and let me untangle all that. In our programming, we were told that it was not good. We were told that that was not the way to eat, not the way to ingest, not the way to, you know, those are not good choices. So in those paradigms and those beliefs, we brought those along with us. And when we ingest or we eat or we, you know, whatever it is that we're doing with our bodies, we have this thing in our head and our subconscious mind that says, this is not good, this is not good, this is not good. And what does that create? It creates a sense of lackfulness of wellness. And you'll notice that there are words that I don't use. I really work on using words that are going to be uplifting and energetic. So you'll notice that. And what I'm trying to say is when we can shift those things and we can present ourselves. And you know, I told someone, if we actually had the belief in the paradigm as a young child that we could eat plastic, you could grow up eating plastic and not have issue with it. But that's not a paradigm we have. And that's not a paradigm we have. So those are the things that little subtle shifts. And we talk about quantum shifting. Quantum's not big. Quantum's small, tiny little baby shifts. And when we notice those tiny little baby shifts that we're taking on a daily basis, and we acknowledge ourselves and say, good job, being a fantastic human. You're an amazing human. You're a fun human. You're a human that likes to love yourself, and you're a human that likes to love other humans, and that's what we're here for. We're here to co-create with people, and I mean that in every sense of the word. When we're out there in the world, and we're sharing, and we're caring, and we're loving, and we're being compassionate, we're being kind, and we're helping others while we're helping ourselves. Don't do it to the detriment of yourself. Do it to the accumulation of your well-being. Do it so that you feel good in the process. Because when you feel good in the process, guess what? Everybody around you feels good in the process. So this is the whole, I guess, energetic experience that I want to share with the world, because we are human beings. This isn't about sugarcoating everything. I think a lot of times, I know I follow a bunch of different gurus and a bunch of different people, and I get their information, and it's all fun, sunshine, and bliss and stuff, and you know stuff is going on in their life. I know that. And so these are the times when, you know, I'm not here to share the stories. Not here to share the stories of, oh, woe is me, but it's about how we can shift it so that it's coming from the inside. When we feel like a victim, then we've got that coming from our inside. When we feel that we are not well, then we've got that coming from the inside. Nothing outside of us makes us not well. Going somewhere and getting a germ is a belief. And a lot of people think, no, that's true. You know, if I go visit a friend, I know I put my mask on, I go visit a friend in the hospital because I don't want to catch anything. Well, you only catch it because it's in your vibration. You get to choose. And one of the things lately is I've been congested. I've been, you know, at times I couldn't speak. My voice was gone. And I asked myself, I'm not saying, oh, I went to so-and-so's and I picked up this thing. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is I'm not allowing myself to be the truest expression of me at 100%. So therefore, something's going to come in. I have something to say. So why am I not saying it? I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, my foot and something not feeling good with my foot. And as much as I say, well, yeah, I walked around in New York City for a week. Well, it's not that at all. What about moving forward? What is it about? I think if you're a Louise Hay fan, I'm sure there's something in her You Can Heal Yourself book about moving forward, and that's probably what it is. So actually, I'm going to unmute somebody here. Good morning, cousin.
Hello. Hello. Good morning.
Hi, cousin Alisa. I love you, my cousin.
I love you, too. You're just on a roll. I'm just listening. I'm trying to do some work. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You've got a lot going on. Well, you've always had a lot going on, but you know, I'm glad that you're doing the show and you're able to just talk and do the expressions that I don't think you've always been able to do lately, not in full, for whatever reason, you know, different situations. But this is like your platform to be able to do that. And I appreciate that because I get to do a show twice a week with Liz and it's the same kind of feeling, you know. I think you're always someone who you have a lot to say. Like you've never had a problem just doing a show by yourself. I mean, I would be like crickets. I'm like, crap, I can't do the show by myself. that's not how the energy works for me. But what you're saying is spot on with, you know, everything that needs to happen for you, and not just you specifically, but you in the general sense of the word for everybody, it has to start from within. And I listened to a webinar last night, and that was one of the main things, was about changing your frequency. Now, this had to do with like financial stuff, but it basically applied to everything. And the first step was, admitting the truth to yourself, like being true and what you're feeling and what you're doing and being true in what your life is like right now, instead of kind of saying certain things or only showing certain things because you think other people need to see that. But it's not complete. Not that it's not true, but it's not complete. And so, that's like the touch point is to say, well, just be true. Just be true to yourself. And if you can do that for yourself, and if you can really look at you know, what your life is like right now, and that truth is acknowledging what you settled for versus what you really want to create, because we create it every day, right? You've said this. We've all said this. You know, our lives reflect what we were thinking about and what we were acting on. But we're the ones that get to control that. And once we acknowledge that with the truth of what was going on with us, then we can kind of stay in that aha moment, but then we got to move it, right? We have to, he was talking about frequencies. And when you can change your frequency, which is actually not that difficult, but it's staying there because we can then get distracted, right? It's because we can change our frequency. We change it all the time, but staying in that frequency that allows you to, you have to do the work and you have to dig deep, but it's because if you know where it is you want to go, if you know what it is you want to create, then the trick is just to continue to stay focused on that, because a lot of times it's just a matter of time. Sometimes we just don't maintain it long enough, as he said it, to get that idea for the next step. But, you know, like when you do your rampage of appreciation, part of the reason why you encourage people to do that and to really to put your requests out from there, or to just brainstorm from there, is because you're in a great space. You're feeling really, mm-hmm. really good. And you're feeling all those different possibilities. And if there's an energy behind that, it's that energy that allows you to receive that next step. And then and that next step isn't like, oh, now I'm overwhelmed. It's like, I'm excited. And you just keep moving forward. So there is a momentum that comes with once you do the switch and you feel pretty good. And then if you stay there, you feel even better. And even better because you're receiving some really good information. You're receiving not just information, but you're receiving this energy that says, yeah, go for it. Because it's coming from you. And if you feel that, it's what you're allowing. It really is what you're allowing and what you're receiving. So I really enjoyed it. Of course, it was, you know, it's also it's a way to get people to start coaching with him, which is, I think, is great. Not where I am right now, but I did get some really, it was just like more like a reminder of, you know, we're doing the steps, but some of it is just sticking with it and doing everything in your power to stay within that frequency and to receive the next step, and letting it flow, like just allowing it. And feeling inspired by that and then taking the next step. So I think you had mentioned a long time ago about some little book. I know your dad had given you a bunch of books like that were written a long time ago. And it was something about, you know, like digging for gold and you're so close to getting to it, but you can't see it. So you stop because you think, I've been digging, I haven't found anything. And it's like 2 feet away. If you just kept with it for 2 more feet,
actually.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, that's exactly what that is. It's that feeling where if you just didn't give up, like if you could just continue on in that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was,
yeah,
that's what it is. But a lot of times we don't stick with it. We get distracted, mm-hmm. and then we kind of get back into the same place.
Right.
So all the things that we've learned over the years and all the things that, you know, that had inspired us, it's integrating that and applying it. And I think the biggest thing that I got out of that webinar yesterday was that whole, you know, you have to be, like you said earlier, be very specific with what it is that you are wanting to create. And be very with your truth of your situation, and then, you know, switching that around, or not switching it, not like lying to yourself, but just taking it to the next natural step of, you know, we work on contrast. Well, I'm so fed up with this, I don't want to do this. So then you fill it in with, well, what is it that you do want, and what is it that you are, what are you really dreaming about? And getting into that feeling, because we do that a lot. You and I have talked about that. I remember you asking one of our friends, what is it you want to do? And a lot of times it's not easy to answer that. You just know what you don't like. And so you kind of get stuck there for a while until you don't get stuck, until you move on. So maintaining that frequency and staying in that zone for as long as you can is going to be the game changer. And I think we just haven't stuck in there long enough. Like we've kind of conditioned ourselves to say, well, okay, it doesn't feel good anymore. I'm going to stop until you realize, okay, well, I've just done the same thing I've been doing the last, 4 years, 10 years, 46 years. So you just continue until you go beyond what you think you could do. So you're right. It is that tipping point. A lot of times we don't even know what that tipping point is. We just think that's never going to happen for us. But
right. And then in that thought, it's never going to happen. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the thing to really understand.
And you're right. The thing is, You're right. if you're gonna say it, yeah. Okay. But see how much power you have in that. That's a lot of control.
That is a lot of control. And people, I think the big thing is making people aware that they have the control and that they can shift it and move it, and your life can be grand. You know. And I think one of the things that I had to realize is it doesn't serve me, even though it makes me sad. I'm going to use the word sad because that's probably the word that's the most, you know, I've had a lot of my psychic friends, I just crack up when I say that, but they are psychic, who are like, you know, we feel your grief. They use the word grief. We feel your grief.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say I'm sad. And I've been creating my life the way I want to create it. And it's been interesting to go through and be okay. You know, I have my moments, but most of the time, I'm okay. And shifting into that and honestly not feeling guilty. Does that make sense? Like, because it's like you don't, even though, you know, we have families, we have children, or we have parents, or we have dogs, cats, whatever we consider family to us, we're not constantly with them 100% of the time. Most of us aren't.
Right.
You know, there are going to be changes when your kids are smaller or when people are smaller. You've got this, you know, you have this overwhelming sense of taking care of, right? Taking care of, being able to take care of them and what happens around them and stuff like that. And as they grow older, you have this sense of, you know, giving them a little bit of freedom, giving them a little bit of space, and knowing that, you know, that's okay too. And I think, you know, for me, you know, with the kids, they're old, they're 12 and 8. So first of all, they're old enough to understand that something's up, you know, and whatever journey this is supposed to be for all of us, you know, all I can do is be a person, you know, as I said before, live transparently, live with integrity, live in kindness and compassion, and be all those things to be the example. I guess it's navigating that, like, you know, in the back of my head, it's like, are my children thinking that I forget about them? Are my children, you know, when you think about those things, like, I think about them all the time, you know, and I can't, there's not a way to express that to them, even though I'm sure, I feel like I'm over here, you know, at some point I was going a little bit nutty about it, you know, like, oh my God, you know, and it's calmed down a bit. And I'm sure, I feel like they're probably not going through what I'm going through, because they're still with their mom, you know, they're still with familiarity, and they're still with people. I'm just a person that happened to be in their life for a long period of time, and they did receive love and care and all that stuff from me. So, you know, I'm sure at some point it's a question of, where did this person go?
Right.
And, you know, and it's a lot more crazy for me, I would think, than it is for them. But I wanted to say, I pulled one of your lovely map cards and I got the card, The Gentle Gardener. So I wanted to read that. It's like, be your own person, be a conscious co-creator. So I love that. But it's the gentle gardener is visiting you at this moment in your life to remind you that your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs create the reality you experience. She is the embodiment of the energy within you that is sent out into the field of co-creation and ensures that all that you are is reflected in the world of form. Are you aware of your thoughts? What is your quality? What is their quality? Believe in limitless possibility, and you will see miracles unfold. The gentle gardener guarantees the integrity of everything you send out into the world. Stay positive and expect a wondrous return. Your garden is abundant with beauty. So that goes right along with everything we've been talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's our garden. You know, it's our garden. We get to till it. We get to plant the seeds. We get to water. We get to nurture. We get to do all those things. So for me, it's, you know, people can be any way they want to be, honestly. And to me, much nicer in the world if you do come from a place of compassion and love and experiencing life, you know. I don't know. Our Aunt Julie sent me something this morning, and I thought I might read it. But apparently it's the Pope. The Pope.
Yeah.
Read this to a group, wrote about, he wrote, Pope Francis wrote this about family and children. And he writes, "There is no perfect family. We do not have perfect parents. We are not perfect. We do not marry a perfect person or have perfect children. We have complaints from each other. We disappoint each other. So there is no healthy marriage or healthy family without the exercise of forgiveness. Forgiveness is vital to our emotional health and spiritual survival. Without forgiveness, the family becomes an arena of conflict and a stronghold of hurt. Without forgiveness, the family becomes ill. Forgiveness is the epiphysis of the soul." Did I say that right? I don't know. "The cleansing of the mind and the liberation of the heart. Whoever does not forgive does not have peace in the soul nor communion with God. Hurt is poison that intoxicates and kills. Keeping heartache in the heart is self-destructive, is a self-destructive gesture. It's autophagy. Those who do not forgive are physically, emotionally, and spiritually ill. Parents are the children's source of life. They are there to protect their sons and daughters and not to compete with them. That is why the family must be a place of life, not of death. Territory of cure and not of illness. Stage of forgiveness and not guilt. Forgiveness brings joy where sorrow has produced sadness, healing. Where healing where sorrow has caused disease." I thought that was interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he's got some really great speeches, and he's one of those popes that really he speaks to the people. So I love that's part of his speech.
Yeah.
Like, you know, before you got on, I was just talking about how. You know, I'm being alienated, but now slowly my, you know, I think my sister got blocked the other day when it was my son's 12th birthday, and I was acknowledging his birthday, and she acknowledged both my ex and myself, which obviously tags us and puts that on our pages, and she removed herself from the post and blocked my sister. So, I'm like, wow. And she told my sister that the children are in counseling and the counselor says that they should not visit with me at this time. And she does not trust that my sister won't allow them to not see me. So there's a lot of the F word going on there and a lot of not good feelings going on, particularly on that side. And like I said before, I've attempted to put myself in her shoes, and you and I talked about this and how, you know, I cannot, it's very confusing and very frustrating. So, you know, I just send love and light, and, you know, I talk to the kids energetically, and I talk to her energetically in the morning and the evening, and randomly throughout the day I say hello. So, you know, I certainly hope it's being received and that they're enjoying themselves. My hope is that they are, you know, that they're happy, that they are smiling and laughing and having fun and enjoying their life. You know, I mean, that's all I can do. And that's all I can
right.
do. Hope that for them. Yeah. So, wish they
no,
were.
I,
and that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying. It is it's really unfathomable what's going on with that whole situation because it doesn't make any sense to keep things away. But as I've said before, what you resist persists.
Yeah.
And it's partly why. Going up against that kind of resistance to me is not that the kids aren't worth it, but it's exhausting because there's a part of me that just thinks this is what she's used to. She's used to kind of blocking everybody out. You know, if she needs to, mm-hmm. She's used to putting up some really big walls if she really needs to, and apparently she feels like she really needs to. So, I mean, that's the, to me, it's like, well, we already know how that approach is going to go, so let's not do that.
You
know?
Right.
I don't have that kind of energy. And so I have it, like, I don't think I've been blocked by her. Every interaction that I've had, which has not been much at all, has been fairly positive on my end. I mean, I know where she's, I know where she's not going to go. I know, I know that she's, you know, she, I just, you know, I get it. And, you know, she was, she's, the last interaction, which was a few weeks ago, was very, you know, like, she was, the big thing was, like, I just, I don't know who to trust anymore. I'm like, okay, well, I can't tell you, you can trust me, because that's just words, you know, if she's at that
yeah.
point where she doesn't know who to trust, me saying, oh, but you can trust me, means that I now have to build a case for you to trust me. Either you do or you don't. And,
right.
And I definitely, you know, she was asking me more and more, you know, if I let you see the kids or let you talk to them, she had all these different conditions. And I addressed them. I'm like, no, I mean, I can't, I am not going to limit who I tell that I'm going to see these kids. And I'm not going to guarantee that, that, you know, Anna's not going to come up. And if the kids bring it up, I'm not going to lie to them. I mean, and I told her that. It was very, you know, this is all through text, so it's hard to convey. But I was just like, I really, I cannot abide by those conditions, because I know I'd be lying to you. If and I know some people say, you just lie. I'm like, no, because that's, that means then that she really can't trust me. If I already know I'm going to lie to her.
Right, right, right.
Right, you know? So right. I mean, so no, I mean, I'm not going to lie to her, and because if she if the tables were turned, I don't think she would expect that either. You know, she wouldn't expect me. Oh yeah, you know, I'll just, you know, I'll just lie to you. I'm not going to do that. So
right.
I
and
think
I am. This is. Let me just say this. I am totally open to you guys seeing them without me. And the only reason I'm saying that is that I would love somebody in our family to lay eyes on them, which is why I asked my father to see them. You know, I drove him over to her apartment and sat in the parking lot while he went in to see my
right.
children, which is one of the not easiest things for me to do. And
sure.
yet I wanted him to lay eyes on them.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
And I knew that. And I knew that. But you know, it was more of, you know, this is, these were these scenarios. She's like, how do I know that you won't do this or you won't do that? Like, well, you know,
you don't.
I'm not going to keep, you know, my cousin in this, like, you know, this knapsack that I have and have her spring out, you know, while we're meeting the kids. But I can't,
yeah.
you know, I'm not going to bring her along if you don't want, if you clearly don't want her to. But if the kids ask, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell them.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell them about their other mother. I'm going to tell them,
yeah.
you know, yeah, she loves you and misses you and just wants you to be fine and would love to, you know, would love to see you. So those are all very honest and truthful things. And it may not be what she wanted to hear, but it's
mm-hmm.
what she needs to hear. And so,
which is
for
why
her to understand her level of control over other people is very limited.
Right.
You know, her level of control
right.
over that situation is what she wants it to be. But when people are really making the effort, and you know, and I wasn't attacking her at all. It was just, you know, she actually she followed up on a phone call that I had made to that number, and she ended up answering it, and it caught me off guard because I was like, okay, well, and I was friendly. I was like, hey, you know, how's it going? But because it doesn't do any good to be like, you know, to shut down and kind of show her the same, give her the same treatment. I think it's partly what she expects. But she, I know she'd be mad if I were to do that. And it's just not who I am. Not when there's so much on the line to some sort of, you know, reconciliation with the whole situation. So there's just a lot to separate, you know, to separate the relationship between the two of you and then the relationship with the kids, you know, that those,
mm-hmm.
you have to make those differences.
Mm-hmm.
So she hasn't quite accepted that reality yet, but, you know, you and I talk about, you know, me being a Taurus and she's a Taurus, so I get it. And even if you never hear those words, you know, any sort of apology, because you may not hear those words, those are really hard to say, but the actions may soften in time, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just no guarantee. Yeah. It's just, it may just be a game of the energetic game of being in contact that way through your kids, you know, energetically saying, you know,
yeah,
putting that out there. And even for her, because I know you do that. You do that. You try to, you know, put that out there, even as much as you don't really like her right now or her choices or her actions. I know that there's love there, that you do love her and you wish that could be received too. But a lot of it isn't, because she's locked everybody out.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, that's just, you know, that's where it is. And as a Taurus, you know, playing that long game of I'm just going to sit still and try to tough it out, you know, it gets really lonely. It gets really hard. It hopefully, you know, will spark something within her to say, this is not me. This is not being human.
Right.
You know, and because it does come up. I mean, it really does, but sometimes you can get so stubborn, like, well, even on principle, I still have to be like this crazy person that's going to,
yeah,
you know, live in a little bunker, you know?
Yeah.
So,
which is not necessarily healthy. And as I say, you know, I love her always. I don't like her sometimes. And it's been a very curious journey for me. You know, as I said, this is, you know, bless her for being on this journey with me. I've never been in a situation such as this and being, you know, and my human self is in shock because of the way I'm being treated. And it's like, whoa. You know, what did I do? And coming from a place of a person who says that they love me and, you know, wrote me this really lovely letter of how they loved me, but your actions and your words don't line up and you don't treat somebody that you love in the way that I've been treated, I'm like, whoa, you know. So, you know, these are things that I struggle with, because I, you know, I read that letter often and I look at it and I'm like, the person that I, you know, I mean, we were together for almost 18 years, and you know, that person that I knew was not the person that exists right now. I don't know who this person is. I'm not familiar with this energy. So anyway, I appreciate you, cousin, because you've definitely been a grounding force for me in all of this. I'm very blessed to have the support, I guess I would say, and not just, you know, your family, but you're also spiritual support and understanding my mindset and how I look at things and how I perceive things. And a lot of people don't, they don't get this. They don't get that, you know, and so many of my friends have messaged me and said, you know, get a good lawyer and get, you know, it's like, folks, I've talked to lawyers, you know, everybody's throwing angles at me. And like, trust me, I've looked at every angle. And what the attorneys are telling me to do is a very not nice thing, and I don't want to do that to my children. You know, I don't want to be like that to my children. Now, you know, it could get to the point where if I feel like it's in the detriment of the children and if children do need a shift, I will step up. And I just think, you know, her, whatever it is that comes out of her, her animosity or whatever, is generally when I'm around, not necessarily when I'm not there. So my hope is that the children are receiving that loving in. Now there is a point of socialization and children being with other kids that I have issue with, but that's, you know, that's a whole nother, again, this is a journey. And so that contrast is there and how we parent and how we look at things in perspective. I was very blessed. I mean, I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, but I was not told that I couldn't have friends. You know, I was not told that, you know, they wasn't really the approval of the children that I was with, because they weren't necessarily Jehovah's Witnesses and they like JWs, like to have JW friends. I had a lot of those too, but I also had other friends in school. So, you know, I'm a social bug. You know, I'm a social bug. And I think, as she stated in the letter, you've always been better with people than me, you know, and it's like, because I feel like I was always more assertive, you know, or more
I don't know. I just like people.
Yeah.
I like people.
Well, you don't come from a family like ours and not like people, you know?
Yeah,
like, you can come from a family like ours and be introverted, which is understandable because there's so many of us. But you really do have to like people. You know, you really have to – you just get used to it. Even if you don't – oh, I love being around large crowds of people. That may not be the case. But there are enough within our family to make any gathering be like this huge, you know, concert. You know, it's there's a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
And at an early age, we just assume – I mean, I always assumed everybody who was of our color, they were all family. I had no idea who they were. I just assumed that they were all family, you know, and so every Filipino was like potentially my relative, and then they were always introduced that way. Oh, this is your uncle so-and-so. I'm like, God, I have a lot of uncles. I have a lot of aunts. and it turns out, you know, years later, oh, that we just say that out of respect. I'm like, well, what about just Mr. and Mrs.? That's what most people do. Like, isn't that? but that's the sort of vibe that we grew up in. So, handling, you know, meeting different people usually is not an issue. Now, if you know, sometimes you usually get overwhelmed, like anyone does, you know, and sometimes you do want to take a break from that. But yeah, the skills are there because that's the environment we're in. But you know, then there are people who come who are like only children, and they crave that. They crave to have so many people around because they've never had that. So it just depends on how you're wired.
And I do know, I mean, I think Jaden could definitely be a recluse, you know, little, like in his own little Lego head, you know. And then Lily, though, she loves people as well. She's very much a social bug. And so that's my concern with her, that she doesn't have friends her age. And she's got a few cousins. Steph's twin sister has her three kids part-time. She lost custody of her children as well, which is kind of sad, but when she does have them, she has a cousin that's a little older and a cousin that's a little younger, so that's that. But you know, it's like I think about all those things and talking to all these attorneys and filling out all this information. You have to fill out all that information, and you know, it's my perspective too. Again, all of this is our perspective. Nobody has to listen to this or believe this, or I'm not asking people to take sides at all. I mean, this is about, you know, a journey, a different journey. Mm-hmm. In our mind, we might say, well, that's not right, you know, but it's okay. You know, some people have it in their mind. Like you said, she's a Taurus. She's going to be very stubborn. She has it in her mind, a certain perspective of what happened and how things are going. And, you know, I guess as my human self is like, you know, I didn't do this. Like, I did not do this. I might have had some co-creative something in there at some point, maybe just not focusing on things or whatever it was, but I didn't create this havoc, and I tried to fix it. Maybe that was the issue. You know, it's like trying to fix,
maybe, you know, you never know. Yeah. I mean, but that's the opportunity that's lost in all of this when there's just this hunkering down and you know, building that wall, is that there is no opportunity then. For maybe fixing is maybe too strong of a word, but there's very little opportunity to have that happen for there to be any middle ground when the boundaries are so clear. Like it's you're either here or you're not. You know, you're here or you're on this other side of the wall that I'm not even going to look through. And I think that concept is very hard for people who naturally like to be free. That's a very hard concept to take, because it is unnatural to choose to limit to such a degree and for such a long period of time. That is its own prison. And while it feels like that for all of us on the outside, that's truly what it is for that person choosing to do so. So who locks themselves in a prison to stay safe? You know, that's what I think of that, to the degree when anyone is any of those images, you know, locked in a prison, painted in a corner, you know, that kind of digging yourself into a hole, you know, all these little images, it's the same concept of self-preservation or unknowingly trying to do something to help you kind of stay afloat or above water, but you end up drowning. You know, you end up creating something, a different situation that is now even more dire than the situation you thought you were trying to get yourself out of.
Right.
Until you make some choices to say, okay, well, maybe I stop digging. maybe I try that door to try to open it up, or I open a window or something else. Just, you know, and I think that is our human nature, is to be free and to not feel like you, and if you tell me not to, that's exactly what I want to do. Don't touch that one. I don't want to touch it, you know?
Right. Right.
You know, that's just our nature, because it is our nature to expand.
Yes.
And grow. We do it all the time. Even in our prison, we still grow. So
yeah,
that's why there's that little bit of daylight. And I say it because we all put ourselves in these types of prisons in different situations.
Yes.
It just depends on how long of a sentence are we giving ourselves. You know, it's the same thing with not lingering on a particular feeling any longer than you need to. And I don't know what that is for everybody. I don't know what that is for everybody, but you'll know when you're like, okay, I'm tired of this feeling. then you say, okay, well now I gotta do something else. You know, I gotta feel something else. But that's us. That's not somebody else imposing it on you, unless
right.
you take it that
I
way.
I think so I love what you said there. It's like, don't linger on that feeling any longer than you have to, and someone's not imposing upon us, we do it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are key things that a lot of people, first of all, they would argue that with us. Somebody did this to me. And so when we can step back and say, I did this to myself, and that's why I thought this was really, you know, for a lack of a better word, an interesting journey, because I'm all about law of attraction. And part of me kept saying, you know, what did I attract? What did I bring in? And then I'm like, whoa, stop asking that question, because a lot of people ask, what did I do? You know, why did this happen? And when you ask those questions, guess what? You're going to get the answer. So it could be a repeat. It could be because they're going to keep showing you over and over and over again why and how and all of those things that you, and when I say you're going to keep showing yourself, your higher power, source, universe, God. And so that's the key, is to understand that we did this to ourselves. Our experience, our human experience here, we did to ourselves. And we can either resist it or we can bless it and move on. Because that's kind of where I'm
right.
at right now. I'm at the blessing part, and I'm ready to move on. And, yes, I would love that. I want that, and I see that with my children. However that looks, I don't know. All I know is just feeling them and hugging them, kissing them on the head and tickling them and having fun with them is something that I imagine all the time. So it's
right.
it's one of those things that it's like, and in the interim, instead of wallowing in this thing that doesn't feel so good, I choose to step out of my comfort zone and to become something more, not only for myself, but for those around me, including my kids, including my ex, including those that, you know, my family, including, you know, everybody. It's like, how can I be this person and stand in these shoes and be a positive force of nature? You know what I mean? That's really what I'm asking for. So instead of, you know, asking why, I'm asking, how can I be a gift to, you know, my children? How can I be a gift to other people? How can I show people? How can I experience, how can I go through this experience without the hurt, really, and without the sadness? Those are the questions, you know.
You already feel the hurt and the sadness. So it's not like you can't go without it, but it's transcending that. And
how do I release it, I guess? Yeah.
Well, and what it maybe it's a transformation, you know. It's in those aha moments, it goes from, you know, being this incredibly sad and grieving person, to realizing the gift in that situation. So then there's the move from feeling this heaviness to saying, oh, but, you know, I did get this out of it. I do understand this more about myself now. Mm-hmm. I've uncovered this part of myself that I didn't want to look at, and that's partly why. But it's a part of me, so I have to love it. I have to honor it. You know, there's a lot of shadows, you know, within us. Those parts that we mm-hmm. don't ever want to look at, you know, and those are things from a long time ago, you know, from when we were kids or, you know, young adults. And so partly when you were talking, because you and I have had these ongoing conversations, and I heard you say that earlier about, you know, not really being able to, you want to see from the other person's point of view, you want to know what it feels like. And for mm-hmm. really empathetic people, it's a double-edged sword, because you can feel that, and then it's like, oh, it feels so horrible that you, like, I can't physically do it. Like, it's going to destroy me. It kind of feels like that. So part of why, one answer to the why is for you, I think, is defining, I mean, we talked about this before, defining your boundaries, but just defining, really defining yourself. And not in a way that limits you, but just so you'll know where you are, because that will change too, right? Those boundaries change a lot. Our physical form changes a lot, and just by nature.
Yes.
That's just how it is. You're never going to stay a little baby. You're never going to stay like the 20-year-old that was out killing the clubs and all that stuff. You're gonna change. Your form changes. So when we don't have any kind of boundary, being in spirit gives you a lot, ultimate freedom, right?
Yes.
Because there's no boundary.
Yes.
But you're in this
yes.
form. So by nature,
yes.
there are certain things that you just will not be able to experience because you're in this form. But you are in this form. So my goodness, you're gonna experience some stuff, that's for sure. But that's why you're in this
yeah.
form. So
yeah.
bigger picture is when you are in these kinds of relationships, any kind of relationship, you really figure out not just comfort zones, because I think we gravitate towards that and we want to establish it. I don't know, for say for earth signs, for Tauruses, it's like we want it to be very set. It'd be really nice for it to be in our heads. This is how it feels. Like, you know, we really good to just know, and it's a certainty. Maybe it's certainty sometimes comes in routines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, I know that this is going to happen at this time, and it feels very comforting. That's like the basic level for our comfort zone. And because it means that it's stable. It means that there are no surprises. Now, for other types, that could be like the worst hell possible. What do you mean there are no surprises? You know, I have nothing to look forward to. Every day is the same. You know, like, that's awful. So you see how that's why we have to learn to live with each other and to be with each other, because everyone's going to have a different definition. And the ones that usually have it the hardest are the ones who only want to hold fast to that one definition. It's like saying there's
right.
only one word for love, or there's only one word for snow. Tell that to an Inuit Indian in Alaska. That's not going to happen. They have a bajillion words for that. There's like a bajillion words for God. So what's interesting is, the definition by itself can be very limiting until you realize everyone's got a different definition. And that's why we have the need to understand the common ground, the need to understand, well, where are you coming from? Well, I wouldn't use that word that way, but okay, if that's what you mean, then now I know. So we're always adapting and adjusting. And sometimes that allowing for someone to have their own definitions. I mean, you know, we have someone in our family who's really pushing the boundaries with that. Like, I'm going to define myself this way now. And everyone else has to
yeah.
figure out, okay, am I on board? Can I do it? And it's not easy. It's not easy for that person.
Yeah.
But is it, you know, is it something that can be done? Yeah, because a lot of people have been able to do it. And it had, again, not been easy. But we're always pushing the boundaries of our definitions. We're always exploring
yeah.
that. And we have to. It's our nature to do it. Now, some of us are not inclined to do that because we don't want to, but we're still doing it. Because we have to live
yeah.
in this world.
Yeah.
And this is even on an age level, here we are hitting middle age, which to me is like, what do you mean middle age? But I think, all right, if I double my age, okay, that's going to be closer to 100. Okay, yeah, I get it. Okay, I get it. We have to just check in and say, okay, well, if I want to change what it means to be in my mid-40s versus what other people assume, you know, or maybe what we've been taught, then I need to get on that. I need to, and it's not about I'm going to stay young, I'm going to, you know, Botox myself up and I'm going to take, you know, do all these different things. But it's sometimes it's just observing, you know, well, how have I been treating myself lately? And am I falling into that assumed notion that, oh, well, you're just going to fall apart. Really? Okay. Well, what if I don't want to fall apart? So then what do I do? You know, we sometimes assume, we take what we've been told and we say, okay, well, we either get on board with it or we don't. So sometimes being in resistance, or maybe not even resistance, but saying, well, I'm going to carve out a different path. So there's a difference there. The resistance is I'm going to stay the same, regardless of what you tell me. But when that transforms, when you say, well, I see, you know, you can think what you want to, what you think I'm going to do this. So you're still in motion. You know, you're still taking action. It's not being stagnant and trying to establish this is it. It's never it. You're not done. If you're still alive, you're not done. At least in this form.
It's huge when you, I mean, you know, it's like you've really got to wrap your brain around being in this human form and,
well, yeah,
and experience what we're experiencing. I mean,
well, and Anna, think about this. Think about, you know, like this is one of your longest relationships, but think about all of your relationships and think about, for someone, because you're a Pisces, you're very fluid. Think about the people that you were involved with, spent most of your time with, and mm-hmm. in those relationships, you know, when I think of someone who's very fluid, it's like they don't really like that. You know, it's not that they don't care, but it's that kind of like, yeah, whatever, and so you get whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
Until you think, well, but I really didn't like that. So sometimes it happens in hindsight. Sometimes it happens even before you do it, even if you said whatever, but you know, you really prefer something else, but you didn't state that.
Right.
This is what I'm talking about with defining you within a relationship. And I think that's what those opportunities have come up, because it is perfectly fine to have a preference, and it's even better to state it. I think the difference with you is that you're not pinning the whole day on if someone agrees with you versus somebody who's a little more set in their ways. So that's a different dynamic. But if you don't even get a chance to express it, or if you've then decided, well, why bother? Because it's not very, you know, we're not going to do this anyway. Those are choices that you just made. So then the dynamic definitely changes, right? And whether you wanted it to or not, whether you say something or not, it's already done. So I think those are reminders for someone like you. It's reminders for everybody. How do we act in our relationships? Mostly, I would say, things that we don't say and things that we don't express, whether it's because, oh, well, you know, it wasn't the right time, or I really didn't know, or I was just really hungry. whatever comes up, whenever becomes the answer, you actually do get that answer. You get whatever.
Yes.
And guess whatever comes in the form of whatever is the best defined. So in any given moment, you actually do need to know. Like if you know who you are,
yes.
And it's not about like putting your stamp on it, because I realize I'm saying this as a Taurus. So I definitely have some preferences and some dislikes. But I've done it too. And I've been in relationships with other Tauruses who definitely were like, well, why don't we just do this? I'm like, oh, okay. Like, what? So what you really wanted to say was you really wanted to eat here, but you were giving me the option of maybe choosing something else, but you really wanted to eat here. Okay. You know, but the way we respond, the way we interact with people, the way we figure those things out, sometimes it's not a playful joke. Sometimes it's like a really knockdown, drag out argument. In each of those two parties trying to define what it is that they want and then trying to come up with some common ground. Well, if we both want to eat, but, you know, you're vegetarian and I'm like, you know, a hardcore meat eater, those are things we need to know. We're going to have to figure that one out. That takes a little bit more than just a casual, hey, let's just go out and get something to eat. But it can be done,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It can be done. So we have these, you know, we have the, oh, you're major, you know, Republican, conservative Republican, and you're this crazy, airy-fairy, bleeding heart liberal. Those are your politics. That's not all of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So even coming to having a conversation, or someone who's you know, hardcore Christian versus someone who's just like, I left the church a long time ago because of, you know, these very strong reactions, doesn't mean those two people can't have a conversation and can't coexist.
Right.
It means it takes some effort, but it also, you know, sometimes those definitions can be very limiting, but it's a starting point. It's not the end point.
Right.
So a lot of your questions about why can be, I feel a lot of it has to do with this idea of definition, of who you are and then who you are in relationship to other people. And in your ease and being able to express anything, being able to express in any given moment, and because you're such a big-hearted person, a lot of times it'll come off as something very very transient in terms of, well, we could do this, you know, again, like I said, whatever. But if you actually did want to do something, you know, establishing that this is something important, I think that being able to express all that and taking your cues, like if it's not received very well and it's not received very well consistently, those are some cues. Like, okay, so what are we actually doing here? You know?
Right.
So it's being able to in turn then define what that relationship is and how do you want to proceed?
Right. I think that's it exactly, because I'm finding myself really expressing what I don't like, not taking things lightly. And it's very different for me to say this, you know, and it's been a real, I want to say, a contrast in conversation, a contrast, because a lot of times I think when I have conversation with people, they also don't believe that I'm meaning what I'm saying, because I'm usually very easygoing and laid back.
Right.
And what I'm trying to say is something that's defining, because I didn't like a situation and I spoke up. And I think it throws people off sometimes when I do that. And I also can be perceived as quote unquote wishy-washy. I've been told that, you know, you're kind of wishy-washy. It's like, I understand that. And it's because I'm trying to express myself. And this is something that I'm just not used to doing. And I'm not used to I'm used to giving in. I'm used to just saying people want to do things and it doesn't hurt me and it's not bothering me, then it's okay. But you know what? Sometimes now it's not okay.
Right.
I'm done with that, because
I've got to
set my own personal boundaries. It's important that those personal boundaries are expressed, and I'll probably trip and fall over my conversations about them because it's very new to me. Because I have tried to make concessions. I have tried to, quote unquote, fix things. I have tried to make other people happy, and you just can't do it. And I've also said, you know, I have to do, I think Ann Higgins, and I think I told you, she is a very old friend, a psychic friend. Here we go with our psychic friends. And she is somebody who's been off and on in my life and has been sort of a mentor, if you will, because you know, I met her before I understood spirituality and energy and all that stuff. And she was expressing some of these things to me, and I didn't really understand it until after I understood spirituality and energy and all this stuff. And so now,
right.
And she is I call her an elder, meaning she's an older woman who's gone through a lot of contrast with lack of ease and has had issues. And so we've reconnected, and what we've been talking about, and one thing she told me, she said, you need to get in touch with your own emotions and know who you are before you step in fully into another relationship or fully into another, you know, anything. She's like, you know, mm-hmm. spend time with you, which is what I've been doing. So it's
right.
It's very interesting how, you know, people come into your life to share and to help you understand really where you are in your life, even though you're like, oh, I know where I'm at, you know. It's okay. I know where I'm at. But and sometimes it's like, no, just admit you're not. Admit that it's time for a change. Admit that things need to be differently. Admit that you have to shift. Admit that as much as you want to hang on to things and how you and not only just emotional things but physical things. I mean, I'm dealing, you know, with a house. I mean, the whole mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm getting ready to be, I mean, I was told I was being sued for half of my home. So being grounded and prepared for that, and what does that look like? And, you know, and then the why would somebody do this to me? And I can't believe we just can't have a conversation. And then, you know, and all these things.
Right.
So
right.
There's just a lot. And I think a lot of this stuff I don't express. I probably talk to you more than anybody, you and my sister, more than anybody else that really understands and knows a lot of other stuff that people do not know and they do not understand.
Right.
Right. And it's private. So my family is there and my family gets it. And there are times when I speak with you guys privately about things. And it's like on the surface, like somebody said, we're icebergs. You see the top of the iceberg, but what's going on underneath, there's a whole lot more. And for
right.
me to be able to step into this and have these conversations and to express myself in a way that not only makes myself giggle or laugh, but also helps other people giggle and laugh and say, glad you're back, da, 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 da. That makes it worth the while. That makes it worth being in this experience on this planet. And if we can take that, if we can find the good stuff in our life, folks, that's not really all I'm wanting to say. That's really what this hour and a half is about. Just find the good stuff. Anyway, but I love you, cousin.
I love you too.
Out of time. Thank you for jumping on with me. I appreciate it. And
yeah.
We'll do this again. That was fun. It was
yeah.
good to just kind of like just chat, hey, you know.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah, thanks for inviting
anyway.
Me. I appreciate it.
Yep. Well, I love you so much, and you guys
love
have
you.
An amazing day wherever you are, morning, afternoon, or evening. And like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Universal Energy Radio. Also, if you want, you can get a copy of a book that I was very blessed to be part of. It's Life Gets Better. Go to lifegetsbetterandbetter.com and download it there. It's a digital copy, free for you and me. Anyway. All right. So I've got to find my music. Oh, yes. Remember that life is a journey. Be happy where you are. At least look in that direction and watch where it takes you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye, Kusin. Love you.
Bye.